Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Monday. Today is June 8th, 2015. I'm Michelle Pache, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. Now, let's welcome Michael in support of developing our inner process of Aramaic forgiveness.
Well, it would be great if Michael were there. Are you there, Michael, or talking to your mute button?
Just talking to my mute button? That's okay. That's an old habit. Anyway, I was just asking Michelle, are you back in Michigan now? You driving woman, you?
Yes, I arrived late last night. It was a nice drive along the way. I stopped in Kentucky for a bit. It was 91 degrees there and enjoyed some weather. And I must say I had a wonderful weekend. I was very blessed to have my friend, my old high school friend join me, trusting that it was the right thing to do, and met up with Susan and Marianne, and we had a wonderful grilled weekend doing forgiveness work and breathing and laughing and crying. It was real nice.
Yeah. It was a sweet group, wasn't it? We were in Asheville all last week, and Saturday did Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So the experienced ladies crew showed up on Friday night. Late, of course. They did show up. And we did Cody Bennett. And then the next morning, Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, and we got to share dinner with them. And we finished that Saturday evening, of course, and then we got in the car. Instead of going back where we were staying in Asheville, we drove down to Flat Rock, North Carolina, and stayed with a minister, a new center we've never been at before, the Namaste Center, that's focused and based in A Course in Miracles. And we just had an awesome day there yesterday. We stayed with her the night before last, and she's only 10 minutes from the center, so we were there fresh and bright and early, and we did a Course in Miracles, What is the World lesson. We kind of did a short form of that in about 30 minutes in the core of forgiveness, and it was sort of a shortened version of what we did on Wednesday night that we now have a new video of. We'll hope that one gets edited and ready to go pretty soon. So we did that in about 30 minutes, and then we did the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. And, you know, with some of the new information that's come in, we had the opportunity, the people who videoed us on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, with Dale and I with Aramaicisms Monday and Tuesday, and then the What Is the World lesson on Wednesday, they offered us a deal we couldn't refuse, and so they videoed yesterday's Why workshop too. So we got all kinds of footage to try to catch up on and get ready to go out and make it available. But it was just an awesome day, really sweet group of people. We spent the night in Flat Rock last night, and now we're actually about halfway between Flat Rock and Asheville on our journey back to pack up. We've got things in a couple of different places, and we'll be packing up and then heading to Bristol. And we're actually sitting in the home of Dorothy Ann Jackson. You've heard me talk before about Dawn and Dorothy Ann Jackson, who are the ministers at Sarasota Unity. And so she just moved up here last week. So Jeannie's sitting over there. I don't know if you can hear their voices in the background, if it's interrupting or not. But we just got here to visit with them. We've kind of got a day that's stacked up, one event on top of another on top of another. We've got about three more meetings in Nashville. And then it's Jeannie's daughter-in-law's birthday tomorrow. So they've got a celebration going on tonight. And so we're getting all those things out of the way and doing the radio show and getting on the road to Bristol. So we've got lots on our plate, and it's just awesome to see the opening that happens. I think maybe Terry might be calling into the show today if he's on there. Michelle, he's an 828 number, and we talked with him about perhaps sharing some thoughts about his week. You know, he's been doing this work for, I don't know, better than 10 years, and 2 years at Heartland, and then just did the last 8 days with us. And Terry, thank you if you're there for the awesome support that you were, from hauling plants and whiteboards around the country for us and just getting it all together and happening. And so Terry actually is starting a support group. There's a chiropractor, Dr. Rich, who's got an office in Asheville. And so on Wednesday night, there's going to be a new support group happening in Asheville. And they haven't established what day it's going to be, but I think starting the next week, Terry's also going to start to feed another support group down in Flat Rock, about a 45-minute drive. So Terry's agreed to go down there to help them get going and cultivate somebody who'll run that support group. So there's lots happening in this arena of forgiveness. We had a gentleman who we met with this morning early. So this, we're on our third meeting of the day, and this morning we met with a gentleman who's a geological engineer and vibration specialist, actually worked on setting up the ground for nuclear power plants and, you know, blasting and disturbance of the environment and all that kind of neat stuff. And so he was at the workshop yesterday, and his whole engineering background is vibration. And he got the message of the workshop so loud and so clear on a vibratory level, and what it means. And it's kind of interesting. We went over some stuff. He's working with a foundation that's working on creating transformation on the planet with different problems going on the planet. But what he came up with yesterday was, well, I realized as I sat in the forgiveness workshop, is what I realized was that if we don't give people the tools to heal, we can do all the projects we want to fix the planet, but it's going to end up in the same place. And so his take was, this is probably the most important, the single most important tool on the planet. I happen to agree with him. That's why I've dedicated my life to it. But it was kind of fun to sit with him this morning and going over several different things and things that tie in, and energy and healing. And so lots happening. And of course, the main project we're looking at is that of forgiveness. How do you go inside yourself and change the part of your mind that causes you the most pain? And when you learn how to do that and you remove that, then to engage in new, perhaps in your bloodline, unheard of behaviors that reflect the love, gentleness, and respect that we human beings are. The restoration of human life on the planet is what we're about. You know, the average person thinks if somebody's got what looks like a human body, there must be a human life in there. And unfortunately, most human bodies have no human life active in them whatsoever. When you define what a human life is, of course, that's an important step in the process. And our definition of a human life is holding a newborn child. When you hold a newborn, you know exactly what a human life is. Have you got one of those? If you don't, then time to get to work and recover your human life, that awesome active presence of love that each of us is designed to do, to be, and to express that in fullness through physiology, through relationships, through business, through everything that you do. And so that's what we're here to support, and we're rocking in the direction. Dr. Tim, how about you? What's exciting in your world, sir?
Well, that's exciting. I hear all of the things going on with you, and I had a lovely weekend. I was asked to speak to the Unity Church in Rockford again, and the last time I had been there was February 22nd, and that was the day that when I pulled up in the parking lot to do the talk, I got the news that my mother had fallen and hurt herself badly and was on the way to the hospital. So in my somewhat disoriented state, I didn't record the talk. And I thought maybe they'd have it on their website, but they didn't. So I went back yesterday, and they gave me a copy of the talk. So now I have both the February 22nd talk and yesterday's talk available on my website. And I was quite surprised to hear that pretty good talk on the February 22nd.
But I knew that stuff, right? I oftentimes go back to my stuff, and it's like, did I know that back then?
Well, and the other thing is that I wove my mother's injury right into the talk and didn't even remember I'd done that. So, of course, it was a little bit odd because I had told them that the title of my talk was going to be How to Learn to Love Everything That Happens to You in Your Life.
Wow. Well, then you go.
And there you go. So you get there to give your talk and you find out your mother's in the hospital and she's too bloody to figure out what's wrong yet. So, but go ahead, just give your talk about how to love everything that happens in your life. And so that was, there were lovely people again at the church. And yesterday was a lovely talk. Yesterday's talk was about if they're questioning if there might be something better for me, for the functioning in my life than belief. And if it's better to do something else other than just blindly believe things. So that was the talk from yesterday, and they're both posted on my website, and that's my new and exciting stuff for today. That's two new talks.
I wish I'd realized you were there. Actually, my son is in Rockford right now, and his mom, so I would have let them know. They could have perhaps combined, so that would have been cool. But
And they can get access to the talks, and it's a lovely little church in Rockford that's without a minister right now, and they're thoroughly enjoying having a variety of people come through and having all kinds of different themes and personalities to stimulate their spiritual community. So that's what's new for me. And I'm excited to hear about all the loving things that are going on with you. And I saw a post from Dale Allen Hoffman that he's going to leave the continent.
Yep, that's his plan.
Or at least the country. I mean, maybe he's going. Maybe he didn't say where he's going, so he might be going to Canada, or Mexico.
No, my understanding is that he's going to head to Europe and do. 6 or 7 month kind of itinerant preacher sort of thing. Take the Aramaic around Europe and take his whole family. So it's quite a leap.
Well, I wish him well, and I still frequently use pieces of his work and things I've learned from experimenting with his questioning and his translations, and I even wove it into the talk again yesterday using his interpretation of the word that the Greeks translated as something that then the King James translated as faith. And I love Dale's definition of it, that the word had to do with nothing about blind belief and acceptance of what someone told you, but it had to do with acting from the rooted center of one's being. So getting centered, getting focused, tapping into your own innate knowledge, listening to your own still, small voice, and then taking an action. So,
And then sometimes when that comes through us, our carbon-based memory doesn't even remember having done it, right?
Many times, yep. In my experience, I have to go back and listen to the recording.
living through the guidance and being taught as we go, and sometimes even what we're teaching, I've discovered this for myself, what I'm taught as I teach it, I perhaps don't have the fully developed brain cells for, and have to go back and review it. That's, of course, one of the beauties of teaching it full-time. You get to say it often enough that you
you get to be taught often enough that you build the brain cells and are able to comprehend it with your own, well, through your own carbon-based memory system and make more sense of it. So definitely an interesting journey. So let's check with Michelle and see if anybody's got a hand up in the phone queue. I think Miss Susan was going to call in today, too.
Susan's here. Terry is not. But nobody has a hand up yet, and chat room's quiet today. Joey's listening from Greenville, North Carolina, so I brought a new friend to the show.
Awesome. Welcome, Julie. It's nice to meet you. Nice to have dinner with you.
Maybe she's...
And actually, Susan, if she doesn't have a hand up, she may be working. She told me she was going to be working if she'd get an intermission from her work. She had a question or two to ask, so we'll see if that works out for her. But otherwise, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, put your hand up. We'd love to hear your questions and your thoughts. We're here to support you. One of the pieces of the puzzle that has come in fairly recently is that piece that when we put together Marcel Vogel's research and high energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought, and the fact that whatever internal paintbrush we use to paint the pictures on the inside of our eyeballs, that's where we think we're looking out on the world, but the truth is we're looking at the inside of our eyeballs and a picture painted out of our own content, is that when that content is based in hostility or fear, then what we do is we literally spray a high energy wave of hostility or fear on the person we're setting our perception toward. And I found that idea to be so impactful with people when they realize that. And then, of course, recognizing that when they shift to, and the genius piece of advice that was given by Yeshua 2,000 years ago was keep rock made in your mind. And I've seen writings from people that say, well, who would follow somebody stupid enough to tell you you're supposed to love your neighbor? And they just have no clue what the man spoke about. But what he was speaking about when he said what the Greeks translate as love the creator, love neighbor as yourself, he was actually speaking about you keep a filter in the frontal lobes of your brain active that allows human beingness, allows love into your structure. And when you use that paintbrush to paint a picture on the inside of your eyeballs, then all of a sudden the people that maybe yesterday you were spraying hostility on, you're spraying literally the high energy wave of love on them. And when you do, they change. People call that miraculous. It's really nothing miraculous about it. It's pretty much just simple, straightforward physics. And as we learn to keep cleaning up our minds and cleaning up literally the very capacity to produce any form of hostility or fear, then the whole game just so magically and miraculously changes that it's amazing. And so it's, I think, a powerful thing to recognize that literally everything you perceive sets up an energy field around you. And that energy field is sprayed on, in particular, whoever you're pointing that perception at. And when you start shifting into human life and you start spraying on people the active presence of love, you get a different response. And, you know, there are pieces that I've taught for years but never assembled in that way, never realized the way they fit together. You know, we've always talked about a high energy wave that leaves the mind when we think a thought, and that our perception comes out of that. But clicking those two together and realizing I'm actually spraying an energy on these people, and I'm spraying an energy into my own cellular structure, is just monumental to realize that. And I think it's opened the space for people to comprehend on a whole other level and to apply on a whole other level the actual process of forgiveness. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Michael.
Yes.
We've got area code 404 on the air here. Okay, we have Mary calling from.
Hello. Hello, 404. Where are you calling? Right up in Milwaukee?
No, it's Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay, 404 Atlanta. Well, we were there just a couple of weeks ago. Who are we talking to?
I know, this is Lorelei, Michael.
Oh, hey there, young lady. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank
it was
you.
Really nice Thank to you. Reconnect with you a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember how many years it's been since we saw you, probably 20 or more.
Yeah, it was in the old church. So
what's on your mind today, Lorelei?
Well, so much, you know, just in terms of it's like, where do I begin? No, where does, you know, I've listened to your talk twice from Unity. And I wasn't able to attend the first Mindshifters group last Tuesday because I had my full moon calls. But I'm going tomorrow. And I guess, I still haven't gotten to the place of how to do the process, you know, I worked a lot with, you know, Colin Tipping over the years. So I've seen the worksheet, but I haven't, you know, it's like, do I listen to the, I know one of the broadcasts where you walk someone through it, or I'm just starting to listen to the book too, because John bought the book on tape, on the CD. So
right.
That's my next piece. Cool. So, you know, it's like, I want to use the process and I don't know how to do it yet.
Well, what I'd suggest is, first of all, the core and the key piece of forgiveness, when Colin took our worksheet and replicated it, he deleted that piece and left that piece out. So that's the thing that you're going to find that's different. And that's the core of how you do first century Aramaic forgiveness. You know, the word forgive is shebag. It means to cancel. And when I recognize my whole perceptual system, the construct of my mind that I call perception, that I think I'm looking through a set of windows on the world, when in fact I'm looking at pictures generated by my brain. And the drive of that whole process is our goals. And the core of forgiveness, the word forgive is shebag, it means to cancel. When I see that, when I load a goal in my mind that recruits some sort of hostility or fear in me, then my perception is darkened. When my perception is darkened, I don't have a decent guidance system to guide my behavior. So the essence of the forgiveness process is I cancel my goal. That collapses literally the picture I paint on the inside of my eyeballs, collapses. I then, you know, it collapses in on itself. If you can imagine, I have this picture of somebody else that I'm saying they're to blame for my hostility. When I cancel that goal, that picture in my mind collapses onto itself, and now I get to drop into the part of my mind where my hostility is rooted, and I can then bring my hostility forward in the presence of love. If you look at step four, it's about reconnecting to love before you get into the core of forgiveness, but then bring the associated part of my mind into the presence of love, and that's what begins the dissolution of every energy in me that doesn't belong. I would suggest that while you're listening to the book on CD, what you might want to do, go to the website and click on the bullseye, and then the third link down, that's 14 different radio shows. And I'd listen to at least a couple of those where we walk somebody through the process. And that'll give you, you've actually got 14 hours of custom instructions on how to do the forgiveness process.
Okay.
It's free. And also, the other thing to do is when you go to the website, you'll see the bullseye in the middle of the page. Just to the right of the bullseye, there's a 24-minute PowerPoint where a gentleman named Bill Costantino, who's an expert at doing PowerPoints, has taken 35 years of my work and put it into 24 minutes. And that's the core of the forgiveness process. It's the tool that's been missing on the planet for almost 2,000 years. I get lots of people who come to the workshop and say, you know, I really like this process, and I'm going to kind of redesign your worksheet for you. I'm just like, oh, okay, thank you very much. Send me a copy if you would. And 99% of people who redesign the worksheet leave out the key piece, which is what Colin did, left out the whole core of forgiveness, the canceling of the goal. And so without that, what people are doing is pardoning. They're not forgiving.
Right.
And, you know, the Greek idea of pardoning has been substituted for forgiveness. So make sure you plug back into that canceling piece. And that's what that 24-minute PowerPoint presentation is about, is the whole canceling piece.
Now, when you say canceling the goal, is that another way to say collapsing the story?
Well,
No, it's not.
No, okay.
That is, you know, it's like that's key to collapsing the story. That's what collapses the story. But locating the specific goal that's driving your perception at the moment and canceling it collapses the whole picture and gives you access to the deeper parts of the story.
Yeah.
So it's the how-to.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that.
It's very confusing for people. It brings up confusion, people, I should say, to be accurate, because, you know, if I locate my goal, and let's say my goal was just for this person to just love and nurture and care for me, it seems like a ridiculous thing for me to cancel that, because it's reasonable for them to love and care and nurture me. That's such a reasonable goal. And you know, people would say to me, well, Michael, why should I cancel that? Is there something wrong with that goal? Well, that's a wonderful goal. That's an awesome goal. Everybody should have that goal for everybody. But if I load that goal in my mind, and what that goal does is recruits hostility or fear in me, then that goal, resonating hostility or fear, brings forward the part of my mind that distorts my perception. So when I cancel the goal, I get to drop into the distorted part of my mind that otherwise I never see except as a picture of somebody else, and I think I'm looking through these two windows at the world, and I'm actually looking at them, when again, I'm really looking at a picture painted on the inside of my eyeballs out of my own content. But invariably, when people read it in the worksheet and they send it to me, they always leave that step out because it's a difficult step to understand.
And it sounds like, from what you're saying, that canceling the goal sounds like the pivotal piece.
It's,
I mean, I know
core.
It's all
it's,
connected.
It is.
Yeah.
That is forgiveness.
Yeah.
Without that piece, one is not doing forgiveness. You know, if somebody, I'll have people say, oh, Michael, I hear you're doing this workshop on forgiveness. Why is this happening to me again workshop? But you know, I've already forgiven my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my kids, my parents, my former spouse, my present spouse. I've even forgiven my future spouses. And what I know when somebody languages how they're forgiving themselves or someone else is that to date they've done zero forgiveness work. There's no forgiveness work in letting other people off the hook or yourself. That's pardoning, nice thing to do, but it's different from forgiveness. So if somebody does something bizarre in my world and I choose to pardon them, I need to call that accurately what it is. I let you off the hook for what you have or have not done. Now, I'm going to take the next step and do actual forgiveness work and recognize that my response, the hostility or fear that moved in me, is about me, and I'm going to access the root of that hostility or fear. By the way, thank you for your behavior and showing me that part of my own mind, and now I'm going to actually engage in forgiveness and remove that from my structure. Now I'm free of my disease because I've chosen to actually forgive rather than pardon.
Yes. So, and when you say, I mean, canceling the goal, could I'm just, I'm sort of taking this in my pores right now. Could another way to say that be sort of canceling the need for the goal being the need for something?
Yeah, that's the wording that's on the sheet. Yes. Yeah, I cancel my need for Charlie to love, nurture, and support me. Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, because I looked at it just when you guys were there, and I thought, okay, I'm going to get into this. But I wanted to just connect with you energetically and then go back to the actual document. That it's sort of like I wanted to just understand, okay, canceling the goal, canceling the need for, okay, yeah, that's awesome.
That's it. And watch that PowerPoint. Go to whyagain.org, and just to the right of the
bullseye.
You see a picture of a PowerPoint. You just click on that. It takes everything and puts it into 24 minutes and just the most concise way you can imagine.
Can I share one thing with you that happened during the workshop when you were there on that Saturday?
Please.
Yeah. When we did the mind shifter statements where we picked the numbers,
right.
My statement was, and I'm sort of paraphrasing it because I don't have it in front of me, but it was basically that my existence and aliveness are welcomed by
my parents, and everybody that's important to me.
Exactly. And then we went and we did our brain dump or whatever. And so I started to
to make, okay, so let me freeze that for a second. I grew up, my parents divorced when I was 7. My dad was on the radio, and I was on the radio with him when I was like 4, introducing his show. And my father was not appropriate with me sexually. I mean, there was no intercourse, but there was like lots of hugging, lots of kissing. And I remember as a kid going, Daddy, Dad, like I was the one setting the boundary. So fast forward I'll be 68 this year, and John and I have known each other for 15 years as friends, and then not quite 3 years ago, our relationship shifted into romance, which was beautiful because it's almost like he got in the back door, so to speak. I wasn't playing the games that I had played with other men, which was just being pissed off at my dad or whatever. In that process of writing, when I was writing about being alive. Because what's come up in our relationship recently for me, and I've been knowing it's obviously about the past, has been, I love the fact that John is so affectionate. But what's coming up now is that piece of, wow, it's like, no, too much. And I'm going, oh, man, this is daddy stuff. I know that. And so I started to write it, when I'm alive, when I was alive, my dad would be all over me. Well, when I'm alive, John is all over me. So I told him all this. I mean, after we had the workshop with you, and it was a beautiful healing. But I just felt compelled to share that with you because it was such an eye opener when I started to talk about the alive piece. So what should I do with that? With that insight, I guess.
Yeah, listening to your language, the worksheet that I do would be, I do worksheets on your dad and worksheets on John, where the goal is to be sexually appropriate. And as you cancel your need for that from both your dad and from John, your brain interprets, the mind can't tell the difference between the real and imagined experience. And if there's still pain or turmoil from an earlier experience, then that would be projected into the current experience. So as you cancel the goal for that, if you go through the whole forgiveness process and you cancel the goal for him to be sexually appropriate, what will happen is you'll open and remove all that painful content from the experience with dad, and then you'll just have fun. You'll just have a blast. Oh, it's safe and healing for me to be a sexual being and for John to be a sexual being and for us to just have fun together. That's a gift we've been given by the Creator. How cool is that? But until you clean that stuff out from your file on dad, that's going to tend to just kind of sneak into and muddy up the picture. So that'd be a really important tip. Now, that might mean that this would be your 77x70 worksheet issue. Yeshua 2,000 years ago, they said to him, well, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? Is 7 enough? And his answer in Aramaic was 77x70, which means you do an infinite amount of work until you're finished with that issue. And definitely you want to clean that one out of your cellular structure so that you can really truly be fully 100,000% alive and enjoy the interaction that you have with John that's clean, that's clear, and very appropriate sexually between two adults.
Yes. So my goal in this case is that for my father to have been sexually appropriate. That's the goal. That was the goal.
That's what I hear in your language, and there may be shades of other goals in there too, but just that came out so powerfully and so clearly, those words, that's the first place I'd start, is with that as the goal.
Okay.
Canceling that goal is what will allow you to drop into that deeper level of your mind and get the rest of that out of there.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Michael.
Awesome. Glad to be on the team. Just delighted. Thank you.
Oh, and, take and care. Thanks so much. And love to Jeannie. Did she have her birthday? Did Jeannie have her birthday yet?
Oh, yes. We took a couple of days. We celebrated and played and had dinner and went to movies and had lots of fun. We had a good time.
Oh, well, wish her a happy belated birthday for me, if you would.
I'll do it.
Thank you so much, Michael. This has been fabulous. Thank you.
And when questions come up, that's exactly what we're here for. This question probably opened the space for 100 other people right now.
Okay,
I'll be on the radio show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for creating the safe space.
Glad to be on the team. Blessing.
Yes, me too. Thank you.
All right, you too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Say 46-200-4169.
if you're in the phone queue and you push button one, that'll put your hand up, and then Michelle will know you have a question. And she'll open the phone lines and introduce you by your area code.
All right, Michael. My friend from high school, her name is Jody.
Right.
She lives in Greenville, and she actually has a comment or question. I'm not sure what, but she asked me how to put her hand up, so here she is. Hey, Jody.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
Good.
Welcome, young lady.
Well, thank you. I just want to say thank you again for a wonderful healing and breathing session this past weekend. It was very enlightening, and I have a question in reference to that.
Cool. Let's go for it. You know, you didn't say much afterwards, so I wasn't sure exactly what processed through when you were breathing, but I'd love to hear more about it and hear your question.
Okay, well, after, I guess I'll respond to that at first. I'm not real good in groups, speaking out loud, but my breathing session was just so amazing. I've never had anything like that. When I was in the process, I was directly just surrounded by this bright light the entire time. And my breathing partner, Susan, I could feel her loving presence just surrounding me, and I knew that I was never alone. And when I awoke, I was in almost like a three-dimensional mode where it was just very surreal, and I was just at such peace. So it was a very, very wonderful, peaceful experience, and I felt like I had left so much negativity behind and let go of that, and looking forward to doing that some more.
Awesome. Yeah, who'd have thunk it, eh? You lay down and you take a few breaths, and all of a sudden you're bathed in light and letting go of garbage. It's like, how does that happen? It's pretty
right, right. Which brings up my question. Each time someone, Marianne, which was another friend, mutual friend that was there this weekend, who was very supportive, as well as your wife Jeannie and yourself, and really everybody there. I felt the love from everyone. She had asked me what level I was at. Now, each time you do a worksheet or each time you feel you need to forgive something, someone, or let go of something, you're doing a separate worksheet. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Now, personally, when I do a worksheet, I've usually got in my hand at least a dozen blanks. And while I'm doing the process, I always pay close attention to even the subtlest thoughts that come up. And what I've found is that oftentimes I do a single worksheet, and out of that one I find 2 to 3 to 4 other worksheets to do. So I'm going along and I'm doing a worksheet on Dad and, you know, wanting him to be more gentle in the way he teaches me. I cancel my goal for that, and all of a sudden I remember my grade 4 teacher who was kind of stern and nasty. So what I'll do then is I'll flip over to a second worksheet. I'll put the name of my grade 4 teacher and how she was stern and nasty and that I felt afraid. And so I'd fill in those blanks, just the ones that come up immediately in the process. Then I'll go back to the original worksheet I was doing on Dad. And I might, you know, as I go through the process, I find that as I pay attention, other subtle things come in that I can work on and clear up.
Okay. And do you do a separate breathing and releasing for each one, or can there be multiple at a time? And is that, I don't want to ask too many questions at once, but is that how you would open the channels for a new level for what Marianne was talking about?
Well, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, so As I said, when you learn the still point process at first, you want to probably give a week between breathing sessions. So I might do a whole week of 5 worksheets a day,
before I'm going to step into another still point session. I might go 3 months and not do a still point session, and I've done a number of different worksheets in that time period. So the breath session is not necessarily related to a specific worksheet, my life in general. And, you know, I got stuff up in my face, so it's time for me to breathe. And when I breathe, I might find things there that seem to have no relationship to anything that's been going on in my life. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, my God, there it is. That's the connector. And that's how you get in touch with it.
Okay, very good. That answered my question. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you guys again when you pass through, or who knows, maybe I'll come down to Heartland.
Fabulous. All right, well, you have a blessed one. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the questions.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cody.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye.
Bye.
It's really cool, isn't it, Michelle, when somebody that you care about ears to hear, isn't it?
Well, you know, when I went to Heartland the first summer, I went to Y, and I fell in love with everything Heartland. And so I had already planned a family vacation in Boone, North Carolina. So I drove up to Boone for vacation, and I saw Jody and her family, and I'm like, bah, 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 bah. And she's like, sounds really good, Michelle. Sounds like, you know, you found something that works for you. And then I drove back to Heartland to do Laws of Living that first year. And so it's just interesting that, you know, 2 years later, she's been hearing me talk about it. And then finally the opportunity presents. And she was way down in Myrtle Beach and just changed her whole weekend plans like on a dime and just drove up on Friday afternoon. And so it's very nice. And I think in terms of developing my own personal support network, having, lifelong friends like that, being able to be in the conversation and have the understanding and is, just so valuable. So I really appreciate that she was open and willing and that she had such good results. So
I know that personally. Excuse me, go ahead.
Oh, no, that was it. I want to hear what you want to say.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say personally, you know, I've got people in my life, friends, family members that I've introduced it to and talked to it about it for years. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, that sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. Yep, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, yes, that's interesting. But in actually stepping forward and doing something and then experiencing the result, it's got to be just heartwarming. To be able to share that with a friend and see the change that happens with.
Right, I'll be watching for it. You know what else I think is going to be fascinating is we met in high school. We went to an all-girls Catholic high school, nuns in uniforms, the whole nine yards. And she is very religious and devoted to her faith and is committed to Jesus in a profound way. And so I think it's going to be interesting as things unfold that she's going to get more of an understanding of Yeshua and what was really being shared with people. So I'm hoping that she stays, with some of the maybe discrepancies in terms of what she's learned along the way and what we're going to teach her.
Well, you know, I don't think there are any discrepancies. It's all totally and completely in line. You know, if you go to the Pentecostal story where it's told Yeshua breathed on them, in Aramaic it doesn't say he breathed on them, it says he breathed them. You know, he was showing them how to use the breath, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to clean their temples. That's why they got all those phenomenal results in the tongues of fire. They were turning on their energy systems. They were opening up and letting go of the garbage. I mean, it's all exactly what he taught in the forgiveness process when he says you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. He's saying you have to cleanse your own unconscious. Well, how do you do that? Nobody from the Greek translations has had that technology, and what we're looking to do is to restore his first century understanding and technology, and it just widens and deepens that relationship immeasurably in my experience. It's awesome.
Terry's on the line here.
Hello, young man.
Hello?
Terry calling.
Hey, Michael.
Hey there, young man. We're still we're sitting here with Dorothy Ann. Jeannie's over there. I think Dorothy Ann is doing what Dorothy Ann does, her numbers with her. And when we finish the radio show, we'll be in the car and heading up to Asheville.
Yes. I tell Dorothy Ann that if she can hear me,
I told her already I would be passing the number. Yep, I told her I'd pass the number on to you.
Thank you. I wanted to have an opportunity to hear what a phenomenal experience I had. 8 days of why, and I was digesting some of it, and just all the process deepening, strengthening, and because of the foundation that I had with the 2 years at Heartland and all the other intensive things that I've done with you, Michael, and over the years. This was, I got an equivalent energetic boost. I was just thinking about this, it kind of unfolded for me. It was like I've been in an intensive break phase. And just the stuff that moved and the clarity that I woke up with in my being this morning, my joints, the crystals that were dissolved, and the movement, I was like walking around, like, wow, what's going on here? It's my joints were more loose and flexible, and energy was just beautiful. So, thank you, thank you.
absolutely, thank you for being on the team, and thank you for all the support you were here. You were while we were here. It was just hugely helpful. So, thank you to you as
well. Yeah, and I got back, and I did put in a lot, and I put in a lot coming from my heart, and just felt good about it. But I was kind of, you know, revisiting that, and it's like, wow, that's the law. Once you put in, you get back. I put it in, I got it back, baby. That was good.
Well, what you put in was huge support and empowered us to move to a higher level in the platform that we created for everybody that was here. So your investment of time, intelligence, money, and energy, and you did all of that this past week while we were here, you know, from Asheville to Flat Rock, you know, hauling those plants down for the video and all. I mean, there's a lot to do, and getting food and water for people, and it's just awesome. And you know, when we go to places where we don't have that support, we don't get the same kind of results. So you were certainly a big contribution to opening the space and making it happen. So thank you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And your willingness to do your work is just, I mean, I see the exponential increase in your willingness, and that's one of the biggest factors there is.
And an exponential increase in my understanding of what this man, Yeshua, or being, whatever he was, this force, this energy that was on this earth and brought this stuff to the earth, right? Wow. And it's right here. It's right here, right now, available for anybody who wants to step into it. You can call it anything you want, but the results are in the work, just like you said. Try it. You know, see how it works for you.
I like it.
Yeah.
Was there any particular insight that would be meaningful to share with everybody that's open for you this week?
There was a series of them. I guess the most one of the most powerful pieces is understanding at a really deeper, stronger level about the projection and how that projection and what that is and what is occurring whenever I'm looking out there at them, you know, and what energies are coming up with me. That's a good one. Is that, you know, it is all mine, and I can understand intellectually, but the more times that I experience it and get it at the level of what we were doing, this healing and transformational work, the deeper it comes a knowing in my being about what's going on. And there was another really big piece around the infantile behaviors of, you know, people here. Now, you know, that triggered me a few times before. It's like infantile, you know, it's like, but you know, I saw that in a way that, you know, there's a, as you state in your workshop, that, you know, there's what we really see is as children run around in an adult body. And I was able to identify with my little child or whatever, abuse, however you want to put it, with the infantile child within me or whatever, and relate to that and connecting to that, that opened up a door of compassion, a broader opening of compassion in relation to how I see another individual when it looks like their stuff's up and on there and they're going into their kind of drama and trauma. It's like, oh, well, this is that little child coming forward. So how would I want to treat a child? I want to treat him lovingly and gently and with respect, just like we do in the commitment and reading the commitment and all. But it just took that to a real deeper level as far as opening up my compassion with working with other folks.
Right. And the crazy things that can happen, I don't know if you've ever heard me share the story about, you know, you imagine the parent that has the child that, you know, sees a ghost or something. And, of course, the child who sees the ghost is in their imagination. And in terror, they run and hide and get under the bed. And the parent who reaches under the bed to pull the child out and comfort them gets bit and scratched and, you know, hurt occurs. But the adult would never think anything other than to embrace the child in love and soothe them and calm them and bring them healing, because the child really thinks they've seen a ghost and they're in terror and they're going to strike at anything that gets near them. So just, you know, I think that when we truly grow into adults, then we can hold that space and be that space rather than, you know, the child within fighting the other child within. You know, most men who go to war are little children who haven't resolved their infantile demands and infantile dynamics. And so now they're doing war with each other and taking millions of lives. And it's all over exactly that. It's interesting, if you go back to the book of James, there's a passage there where James says, stop your denial. And then they ask him, well, what's the cause of all these wars and fightings among us? And he says, it's those internal conflicts that you haven't dealt with. That's what creates the divorce, the conflict, and the strife in the world. And, you know, it's just like so simple, so straightforward. And when you see it from the perspective that you just shared through an actual pair of adult eyes rather than that hurting, sad, scared, terrified little child, all of a sudden everything shifts. And if we could just get enough adults on the planet, these infantile games would go away.
Exactly. And if I'm on what am I going to say here? Until I heal myself and do my own work, then how can I possibly help someone else?
Exactly. He says, it's just, why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye while you have a beam in your own? This is what he was talking about.
Yeah.
He was talking about people doing their work.
There you go.
He wasn't talking about
belief
system. He was talking about the actual fact of people doing their work and cleaning up the speck in their own eye.
Mm-hmm.
I love the definition he gives us of a Pharisee. Remember that occasion where he's invited to the Pharisees for dinner, and he sits down to eat and he doesn't wash his hands, and the Pharisee is just shocked, like, how terrible. And he replies, you Pharisees, you keep clean the outside of the cup and the platter. You control everything. You make sure everything looks good and is pretty, but your inward parts, you haven't done any work. You're filled with hostility and fear. The Greeks translate it as ravening and wickedness. That's what's going on the inside. And that's what he's calling out in us, to clean up our own pharisaical minds and to truly live in that human adult mind of love.
And if I truly have an interest in helping anyone, I need to help myself and get that cleared up. Yep.
That's it, sir.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, we appreciate you. And if you're going to be around Rich's office, we'll probably be there by, I don't know, 2:20, 2:30, something like that.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to make it. In fact, I know I'm not going to make that. I'll probably
okay.
miss Shelby kind of now for the next 4 hours. So I'll talk to you, though,
I'll see
on
you.
The road maybe.
You're lucky.
Yeah. I love you, buddy.
I was hoping we were going to get to see you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Blessings. Much appreciation. Lots of love. Bye-bye. We're down to about 5 minutes, and we're actually complete with our workshops for this season. We have nothing else scheduled on the road, but we're heading back to Heartland in the next few days, and we'll be getting back there to get the center ready for summer season, 10 days of food, fun, forgiveness, and work. It'll be an economy project where people can come at an economy price, and we'll do work projects during the day to get the property ready. And then in the evening, we'll do workshops, and on Saturday, we'll do Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing in that 10-day food, fun, and forgiveness. And then we move from that to a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And in that workshop, we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Healing Through Relationships, Communications, You Hear What I Think I Said, Empowered to Heal, Mind Shifters, Hands-On Energy Field Work, Still Point Breathing. So we'll do that in a 9-day process format. And, of course, doing the fresh and raw, awesome food that we do at Heartland. It's very empowering to move through things. And then from that 9-day why, we'll move into a 16-day codependence communication practicum. So we'll do in a process format, of course, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Healing Through Relationships, the Communication to Hear What I Think I Said, and Codependence. That'll be 16 days. And in that one, it's particularly powerful in that each time that somebody has a conflict come up or something's going on between two people, we'll actually pull out the worksheet on communication, the responsibility communication process, and then facilitate and support people in actually doing responsibility communication. And that's just such an awesome tool, and so that becomes a very practical one. You did that one last year, Michelle. That was pretty cool.
I would highly recommend it. It is it's the only way to get along with people, really just being able to take responsibility for what you're perceiving, and it's practice is required.
Yes, and it's really powerful to watch other people practice, isn't it? And, you know, the willingness of the group, and whenever something comes up for somebody to get up and sit in the front of the room and actually responsibly be supported in moving through, and each time that one slides into projection, you know, everybody in the room can go, oh, my God, that's what I do. And, I say that myself. And so to call that person back to responsibility and using the language of responsibility just – it opens such a space when you get to do that in front of the room and or when you get to watch somebody do it. It's just, it takes it to a whole other practical level. And, of course, in the context of the communication or the codependence workshop, it opens a whole other level. And then we'll move from that into 16-day laws of living. And the final intense of the season will be Jeannie doing an 8-day healing the whole woman. So we've got a pretty hot summer planned, not meaning temperature-wise, but energy-wise. And we'll hold the space for a cool summer at Heartland. And then we'll be back on the road again. We're actually heading. Jeannie's got a women's conference to speak at in October in Miami. So we'll be heading back in that direction once we finish at Heartland in September. So we'll look forward to connecting with you along the way. If you want to take your work to the next level, jump on our website, whyagain.org. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a link that says Flyer. Click that Flyer link, and it'll take you into a description of all the workshops. So we appreciate you being with us. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Thanks for everybody's calls and participation, and we hold space for you to have the most awesome year yet of your eternal life. And it's a fabulous gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
What do you see, ladies, cooking up over there? Well, I think my number said that I'm finished with challenges now, doesn't it?
I need to know your parents' birthday.
Yeah, you got a big one over here.
My mother, my father's birthday was June the 8th. Let me think. June the 8th. Maybe 1908. I'm not sure. And then my mom's is January the 6th. I have to look it up.